B-Pod Studios.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Because you're going to see multiple looks in a game from the opponent. There's going to be six guys that pitch.
Yeah, so somebody's going to give you an inning as an opener.
Right.
What are you going to do?
Right. It's really a confusing deal.
I think, Jackie, they feel like he's going to come back and hit. He's not going to be as bad as he was. He's a guy that has to have more rhythm, play more every day. He lost his job in Milwaukee, and that was it.
Yeah.
And it's hard to all of a sudden go, hey, you haven't hit in a week. Go get me a couple hits. And I think that's why the offense suffered dramatically the way it did. But on the defensive side, you still have to figure out how to defend. I know Kike went off offensively, but there were some balls that fell in Houston in the game, in Boston in the games defensively. In the postseason, that hurt them. The offense was there. I think Kike is a guy who can play short, he can play second. Those are upside. So maybe they put him at second every day and use Jackie late in innings to defend. Yeah. I don't know.
I mean,
but Jackie Bradley will defensively. In right field, we got spoiled because of Mookie Betts playing so well in Fenway. That's a tough place to play for a number of years. So I think Jackie's defense is a big part and attraction to this. But the winner here, honestly, is the Brewers for me right now.
I'm into that, Harold Reynolds, Matt Biskirchen, and MLB Network. Just mind-blowing. Such a mind-blowing trade. I watched the MLB Network this morning. A couple things there, a couple good points. Biskirchen brings this up, like a platoon player. What's the value of a platoon player anymore when the reality of the game is what we were just discussing? When they throw five starters out there, five pitchers out there per game, and the starter's out in the second inning, and there's bullpen games and bulk guys, and, you know, you play a right-hander against a left-handed starter, and he's out after the first time through because the nerds are having a bullpen game.
Correct.
So what's the point of the platoon guy anymore? It's being devalued. And secondarily, Jackie Bradley doesn't work as a platoon guy because, if you can believe it, he was even worse against righties last year than lefties.
Yeah, he just sucks, period.
He can't hit. It doesn't matter if you threw it with your Schmenzer. Which means that's not left or right. That's right down the middle. He was 161 against righties, 169 against lefties. So the elephant could throw it. He's not hitting it.
With his trunk.
Right. He's not hitting the baseball. Okay, so he doesn't work as the platoon guy because there's so many pitchers being used anyway, and he sucks against any side of the plate. And then Harold Reynolds goes on to say that, well, you know, his offense struggled because he wasn't playing, and it's hard for you to hit. You know, you're not playing for a week, and then they ask you go in there and, you know, get a couple of hits. So he didn't hit because he didn't play. And I would say that, Harold, I'd reverse that.
Yeah, you get it backwards.
Tell you that he didn't play because he can't hit. And so it just mind blown that this guy is back here.
No, so look again, the whole left-right thing. The pitcher could bend over and shoot it out his ass like they were butt darts, like we were talking about earlier in the week. He's not hitting that either, okay? And when Harold Reynolds says, well, they're banking on him hitting again, when did he hit the first time? That's sort of what I would come back with.
The last time I remember him hitting, honestly, I was thinking about this today. The last time I remember him hitting was it a 19 or a 29-game hitting streak? He had that nice hitting streak going.
29.
In 2017.
17, 18, something like that.
And Farrell moved him up in the lineup.
The genius there behind the bench decided to hit him leadoff, at which point Felger and Maz rightly said, you've got to be kidding me. This is the end of the hitting streak.
Man, it was.
And all the baseball people said, Felger and Maz, idiot. I don't want to waste any time on that idiot commentary. Idiot, 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 idiot. Bunch of idiots. Dummy. Like it matters. He didn't get a hit. That was a hitting streak. That's the last time I remember Jackie Bradley hitting.
Correct.
Was during that hitting streak that John Farrell, of course, mushed, moving up to leadoff.
My guess is that was 2016 because he hit 267 that year, which for him was like 367.
So like this, I don't remember. He also hit 280 something during the COVID year.
COVID year doesn't count. Doesn't count. 55 games doesn't count. Doesn't count. So again, if baseball, if evaluators are going to tell me, if people like High and Bloom are going to tell me, well, you get a disregard Hunter Renfro's 2020.
Yeah, yeah.
Because it was a COVID year and everybody's, J.D. Martinez didn't hit during the COVID year. Half the guys in the game didn't hit during the COVID year. So I'm supposed to put stock in his 283? Like that one counts? Doesn't count. COVID year doesn't count.
The data is there.
Fake 283. Fake.
Data is there. Fact, not opinion. One of the worst hitters in Major League Baseball over the past 100 years. And when I say one of, I don't mean like the bottom 10%. I mean the bottom 10. Raw number. Bottom 8. Debatably, arguably, and not even, it's not even that arguably, the worst hitting outfielder in Major League Baseball in 100 years. Look at the numbers. We've given you the data. Don't make me do it again. And that was the cost to get the 16th ranked prospect into your system. Again. That to me, it's going to be a while before I get over that one. Before I can connect the dots on that. Back to your thoughts. The rest of you, the final hour. Again, Patriots, Bills, this. Did a little Celtics if you want. Call some whatever the hell you want. Tom and Quincy on the Jackie Bradley trade. What'd you think, Tom?
I'm still sick. Because, honest to God, you guys, I called you for years begging and pleading to get this guy out of this effing team, right? So then he finally does. And I'm like, oh, my God. I called up. I said I felt like I hit the number. That was my response. I thought I hit the number. That's how happy I was. The effect of him coming back does not make me feel like I hit the number. It makes me feel like you squared up and kicked me square in the nuts. All right? So, and it's already started. I've already had to listen to the Harold Reynolds things. Oh, no, he's back here now. The Bloom. Oh, we can get him back to what he was. You guys, I don't need numbers. I don't need stats from 100 years ago. He's the worst player I've ever seen. He sucks. I don't care what list you have. I don't care who says it's worse. You can tell me Adam Dunn sucks more. I simply disagree. No player that I've ever watched in the 40 years I've watched baseball has sucked more than Jackie Bradley Jr.
And his defense is overrated.
Yeah, so I don't know that I would go quite as far as Tom. I've seen players who were worse. But I took out the COVID year. You know what his career average is without the COVID year?
What?
219.
Oof.
219.
Oh, my God, he can't hit.
So all of a sudden, again, I'm supposed to put stock in that COVID year. 219.
He's also, for our purposes and sports fans' purposes, one of these annoying guys that has this legion of fans that will tell you, well, you just don't get it.
That's right. Why he's the Marcus Smart of baseball.
So, like, Marcus Smart, Al Horford is a lot of people like this. Yeah. Like, no,
you just don't know what you're watching.
You don't understand the game if you don't understand the value of Al Horford.
It's subtle.
The Tuukka Rask people.
Oh, yes.
Okay,
yes,
so
you guys are wrong about Tuukka.
But he's one of those, like, there's this subset of annoying players that have this annoying following that send you annoying information on said player who really isn't that good.
Yeah, because you don't have the discerning eye.
You don't get it.
No, again, you can't see it. You don't see it.
And so now you have to get in debates about the value of a 230 hitter or a guy who averages 11 points a game, Marcus Smart.
219.
Oh, my God.
219 hitter without the COVID year.
That's slow. Soapy and Merrimack. Go ahead, Soapy.
Hey, guys. Happy belated Thanksgiving. Two quick points. So I think it's clear you look at this team and they clearly, the Red Sox, you think that they can just dink and dunk their way through roster construction, or that's what they think. And number two, I know you guys were harping on Bill Belichick saying that J.C. Jackson, if you leave the garbage out, he's going to pick it up. I think he was actually talking about Heim Bloom with his roster construction.
That is true. So have the Sox been emboldened to think that they can just dink and dunk their way to roster construction? Absolutely.
Oh, yeah, and they probably can.
Absolutely. That's what last year showed them. Sam Kennedy told you the day after the season, said it to your face, validated our strategies, and we're not going to deviate from them one bit. In fact, I think it's going to be even worse. Like it's emboldened them to take it even one step further. And one step further is trading for the worst hitter in the last 100 years in Major League Baseball. That's what they've been emboldened. There's no there's no way they carry on like this if they were another last place team or were once again irrelevant. Their success has emboldened them.
Oh, yeah, right. No. It's been validated. They've totally been validated. It's the most worrisome part of the whole thing. But I will say this, that the approach works in Tampa, right? What's the attendance down there again? You remember what the attendance is in Tampa?
Poor.
Do people go and watch?
So I think a more relevant thing is, what was the attendance here last year?
Well, so this great. Is what I'm saying,
yeah.
Is that at the end of the day, you don't want to go watch it.
It works, but it's really not all that fun to watch.
So it works as a baseball logic and baseball formula. Does it work as an entertainment formula and an entertainment product? Because I say no.
Yeah, but does it matter at Fenway, though? Because Fenway itself is a draw. Like, they're always going to get people in there because the place itself is,
it was,
you know,
down,
for tourists.
But it was down last year.
Yeah. It was?
Yeah. Okay. It was yep. down substantially.
So, and I'm hoping it stays that way.
Back to your phone.
That's how strongly I hate this sort of approach. I do. I hate it.
Back to your thoughts right after this.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Felger and Mass.
They've been incredibly consistent.
The only thing that's consistent is their inconsistency.
I don't think that's inconsistent.
Yeah, which is exactly what Murray said.
Am I misinterpreting it?
No.
Now, more Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Bills come in on a roll. They've won 7 of the last 8. And after 3 seats at the MVP table, Josh Allen's grabbing one of those.
Yeah, I don't know if Bill Belichick would agree with you on that. He, talking with him this week, he didn't buy into the Josh Allen craze. He said, you know what? We actually played pretty good defense against Josh Allen when we played in November. And you know that Bill Belichick will have something cooked up for Josh Allen. If you think the Buffalo Bills are just going to roll the ball to the 50-yard line and take a victory lap around Gillette Stadium, that man has another thing coming.
Yeah. And look, there was no question that Bill really got fired up when we were talking to him about potentially being swept, Josh Allen being one of the MVP favorites. He was not having any of it. And I can guarantee you he coached his football team about as hard as he probably coached it all year long leading up into this game.
Offensively, it really starts with Allen. I mean, he can do it all. Improvement has just been tremendous from, you know, where it was 3 years ago. Completion percentage, passer rating, decision making, production, it's just gone, you know. It's risen at a really remarkable rate. It's just remarkable how good he has become, you know, last year. This year he's built on that, you know, what it was when he came into the league. But he's really made, you know, tremendous improvement and, you know, has a lot of command of the offense. They audible a lot. They change things. They obviously have a lot of confidence in him. He handles them well on the line. They rarely run a bad play or where they run into, you know, a bad look or a blitz or something like that. He doesn't get fooled much by anything. It's really, really impressive to watch how he's developed there.
Quite a difference a year makes. Bashing Josh Allen to the Monday Night Football crew. Bills blowing smoke up Allen's backside this week, as you would expect. We'll see what it looks like on Monday night, Maz.
Oh, yeah. I have a restored or a renewed faith in Bill in the way he's able to dial things up on a week-to-week basis. And if you remember, you go back a series of weeks, and I said, Bill's starting to win me back. Well, since that time, they've done nothing but win. They've done nothing but shut down opposing quarterbacks. I feel like he's re-energized by this whole thing. I think he loves that he's controlling everything, that the quarterback's a rookie, that the defense is playing zone. It's not about really any individual player on that team right now. It's about the coach.
It's how he drew it up, Maz.
Totally.
He built it, and everyone's listening. I can't help thinking, though, this is just like the conspiracy theorist in me, though. We would agree that Lewis Riddick has been one of the prime rump swabbers of Belichick over this last 6 weeks,
yes,
right?
Yes, sir.
I wonder if he feels like, I owe you one. Sorry. I let the cat out of the bag last year with Josh Allen, let people know what you really feel about him, and you know he sucks deep down, so I owe you one.
Yeah,
so I'm going to pump up you even more this year. Like, it's deserved to an extent, but some of the stuff from Lewis Riddick over the last month and a half has been like, geez, guy, like, rein it in a little bit.
He's trying to climb back into the circle of trust.
Yeah.
Either way, let's see what happens. Let's see if Bill can get to Josh Allen the way he's gotten Justin Herbert. Meanwhile, on the other side of the ball, Andrew in Framingham has a thought. Go ahead, Andrew.
Hey, so I was looking at Mac Jones and how he's going to go up against this Bills defense. Yes, Tre'Davious White's out. That's going to help him. But they can't score in the offense or in the red zone. In the last 5 weeks, we've put up 15 field goals with Folk. They can't score. Now, does that mean our offense sucks? I don't know yet.
But
Mac Jones is just not producing.
Let me finish, Andrew. He produced against Cleveland. It was a terrific game.
It was his best game.
He didn't need to do anything against Atlanta, so he didn't. And I think this last game, the results were mixed. But if it's just straight up and down the field, and the Patriots have to match an inefficient Buffalo offense, I don't like your chances.
No.
I think a key to this, so this is why I'm focusing so much on the other side of the ball. I think the key to the whole thing is forcing Josh Allen into mistakes or turnovers, and you have short fields, and you take advantage of their mistakes. And if that's the game, then I think Mac Jones and the Patriots offense definitely has enough. If Josh Allen and the Bills offense is going to go have themselves a day,
you're in trouble.
Yeah. Well, I don't like your chances of winning a 38-35 ball game at this point. I don't.
Yeah, look, Buffalo has the best pass defense in the league if you go by the numbers. And again, they've played garbage, okay? But they have the number one defensive passer rating in the league. You're second. The Patriots are second. But the other thing is that this idea of, like, they don't have Tre'Davious White. And don't get me wrong, good player. Do you have a guy that warrants that kind of corner?
Totally. Who is he going to neutralize in the first place?
Right.
So good. Take out Nelson Agholor. Neat.
Exactly. Like, you know, as long as the Bills... Now, the way the Bills can lose the game is by beating themselves. And they are very much capable of that.
Thank you. Jacob in the car on the JBJ trade. Go ahead, Jacob.
Hello. Thanks for taking my call. So, I guess the Red Sox hoped Bradley would become someone like Andrew Jones, which didn't pan out. But do you believe the Sox are transitioning completely away from their model to a Tampa Bay-like model by accumulating a bunch of prospects?
Yes.
Yes. And when you say transitioning, I would even
They're
go
already
so
there.
I would also go so far as to say past tense transitioned. You are them. You are they.
Yes. Yeah, again, I to me, that's exactly where they are. That's exactly what they're doing. These moves that they're making now, this trade that they made for Bradley, is about 2023 and 2024.
It's about those system players.
As was the James Paxton signing. That was about 2023 and 2024. They're not putting any impetus or priority on 2022 right now. They're not doing that at all.
And let me just say this now, before you say, you know, because they will make a signing. And I don't know if it's going to be this year or next, but at some point, whether it's re-signing Bogarts or Devers or going to the market and making a big signing, they're going to do it eventually. You know that. I don't you, Maz? Or do you have your doubts?
No, I mean, I think that it'll be someone significant. I don't think it'll be a blockbuster.
I think that they will eventually have a blockbuster.
Like a $100 million deal type
player?
Yeah,
I do.
Oh, I don't know.
See, that's not even that much anymore.
Yeah, it's not. You were talking about the $325 million. I mean, did you put it past him to sign Bogarts or Devers to one of those?
I wouldn't rule out like 5 years and 150 on one of those guys. Yeah.
You don't think they'll ever do a $300 million deal?
I mean, no, I don't think they'll do a $300 million deal. I don't.
Well, I mean, you know what? Now that you say it, they never done it in the first place.
Yeah.
I mean, what's the biggest deal they've ever signed?
Under this ownership?
I mean, was it Manny Ramirez?
No, he was before then.
Oh, that's right. They didn't even sign him. That's right.
So Price?
So Carl Crawford, Price. For sure, Price. Yes.
And how did that work out for
Not
him?
Not
right?
well.
You know, so, and maybe you're right. But all I'm saying is they will spend money. They've spent money this year.
Yeah, no. They'll spend. They just won't spend it the way that they spent it in the past.
They just won't spend it in a way that's any fun. They'll spend it this way. Michael Wacha, Rich Hill, James Paxton, and Jackie Bradley Jr.
Don't forget Rob Refsnyder.
I did forget him.
And Kevin Pilecki's been re-signed.
Allen in Florida, go.
Yeah, first of all, if you think 5 years at $30 million a year is going to get Bogarts or Devers, you got another thing coming. You know, the only theory I can think of, I mean, this is the most shocking thing. I wouldn't be surprised. This is the same week that they bought the Penguins. I mean, Maybe they're looking to sell the team. They just can't be that stupid.
It makes no possible sense.
Tampa Bay, first of all, you know, this wonderful Bloom, who's better to me than a sleeping pill. I listen to him, and I crawl. I just fall asleep. This is incredible. Tampa Bay has good players. And you know what? He was never the number one guy in Tampa, by the way. Everyone thinks he ran Tampa Bay. Okay. He was always an assistant.
But, Alan, Bloom has done a good job here. I mean, we can't say that he hasn't. I've submitted myself to my clone overlords. I've given in on Bloom. He's good. He knows what he's doing. So this isn't my thing. This Jackie Bradley trade might even work long term. Maybe this prospect really pans out, and we'll look back in 3 years and say, wow, you know, he nailed it. That's all possible. That's not my beef today. My beef is how unfun it is and how incredibly bad Jackie Bradley is. And the cost to get that system player is just, to me, astronomical. A $12 million guy who can't play. So that's my thing today. And Rich Hill and Maka and James Pax.
Waka.
It's just not interesting. It's just the method of how the build is just not fun. Oh, my God. It's just not. The only thing that makes it fun is how bad Jackie Bradley is. Sean in Fitchburg. Go ahead, Sean.
Snooze fest.
Hey, I just wanted to know, Murray, do you still have that box of nails? Because I'm about ready to take one already. I mean, I'm not excited for this trade deadline when they're going to pump up this Paxton guy as their big re-addition like they tried to do the Chris Sale last year. And it's just going to, you know, that success that they had last year, I think you were right, guys. They really, you know, they were ticked off about it, and they're just trying to, you know, put their plan back in place no matter how good the team was last year.
Well, they've done it every time, Sean, haven't they? Under this ownership group, pretty much. Well, anyway, since Theo left. They have some success, and then all of a sudden they cannot get over the smell of their own farts, and they make whatever they were doing, they just amp it up even more, and then they fall flat on their face. Haven't they done that for the last decade?
Oh, no, they love the smell of their own farts. They cup them, and then they put them over their noses and inhale. They do. They love the smell of their own stench.
You know what I mean? And so this is like, you think last year was annoying with the way we built the team. Wait till you see what we got this year, because it worked. And that's exactly what's going on.
It's the worst case scenario, seriously.
But if you break it down, they wanted these prospects so badly, who, again, they're ranked, in the teens. This was a guy they didn't want to pay last year. They let him go for nothing. He got worse. Now they're actually paying this salary. What is it, $8 million?
12.
12, because they wanted these prospects that bad? It's just bad business.
I mean, so when Bloom said last winter that they wanted Jackie Bradley back, I said, yeah, right. Sure you did. And then they brought him back. Like, on some level, I feel like this is the Benintendi trade. Remember when they traded Benintendi?
Of course.
They got back what's his name?
Franchi Cordero.
Franchi Cordero, who sucks. Now, there's a guy who's worse than Jackie Bradley. Okay? I'm sorry, he is. They got back that guy and a couple of pitching prospects that, like, who knows what the hell they're going to be, or a couple of prospects, period. And I feel like you gave away a guy like that and got basically bit parts, which is what I feel like they've done in this deal. Renfro's stock went up. They have needs. You could have put him in a deal and gotten something. Instead, they got some other softball player from A-ball who can hit home runs, I think. But, you know, when they said, if you listen to them talk about this kid that they got too, well, the real story is his bat. Meaning, he can't play defense. He's another DH. Seriously, that's all they do. They go out and pick up all these DHs and they worry about where they play later.
One final segment of your wonderful phone calls and emails comes your way after the update. What's the latest in the world of sports, Mary? In the world of sports, Murray.
Well, Mike.
Sorry.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
You are a sorry liar. You are a sad, sorry liar. 98.5. Literally pathetic.
The Sports Hub.
You know, this is home for Jackie, and recognizing that it was a tough year for him, you know, I think we all know that the ability that he has is better than what he showed this year. And I think coming back here, we'll be able to get him back to a lot of what he used to do. You know, defense has always been his calling card, but we know he's a better hitter than what he showed this past year. And we're optimistic we're going to be able to get him back to something resembling who he was here for so long.
Trying to get him back to resemble what he was here, which was what?
230 hitter. Like, all of a sudden, that's a good thing.
It is staggering, stunning, stunning Red Sox move late last night. We're discussing it for much of the day. Also have Patriots Bills on the board. There's a Bruins call that's been here for a little bit. I'll get to it this segment as well. They come up tonight. Are they in Nashville?
Yes.
I believe. Okay. But back to your phones here. Here's Dan in Boston. What do you got, Dan?
Hey, guys. Understand why you have a player like Kyle Schwarber, you know, still out there in free agency. Now there's a lockout. There's not going to be a Stephon Gilmore 4 p.m. contract that goes to him right when we come out of this lockout period. So now we're going to have, you know, the bottom third, almost the bottom half of our lineup suck again entering into the playoffs. And that's what we're going to have. That's what we're forced with. And I just don't like it from an overall perspective. We had a chance to get him in there, and now we don't. We got Bradley, and that just sucks.
Okay, so you think this kills their chances to get Kyle Schwarber back?
Nope. I rule out nothing. I have no idea what the hell they're doing. I couldn't even begin to tell you. I'm not joking. And for all I know, they're going to trade Bogarts and have Schwarber play shortstop. Mm. With the way they do things over there now, I mean, they clearly don't care whether a guy can catch the ball or not.
Not at that position.
No. So, like, who the hell knows? Do I rule it out? No. God, no. Bobby Dahlbeck could be on the next bus out of here, and you put Schwarber at first base.
Matt and Drake. Hi, Matt.
Yeah, hey, how you doing, guys? First time, long time. I don't understand why they're bringing Vestbom back. And like Bloom said, I don't get it. He said, oh, well, he's bringing him back to do what he does. What? Continue to suck? Like, I don't get it. You know, I don't. I mean, are they going to do the Invincible? Are they going to start public tryouts next spring? You know, I think that'd be great. I think my 17-year-old stepson would be great to go. Maybe even replace Bloom.
He could hit 161 against righties.
Definitely.
I mean, who couldn't?
Yeah. Just put the bat on the ball.
Yeah, I mean, every once in a while, you're going to back into one.
Yeah, bad luck.
I mean, seriously.
Yeah.
Just wave the bat long enough, it's going to hit something.
Yeah, I think you're onto something, though, with your theory that Alex Cora couldn't stand Renfro. Thought it was a pain in the ass and a liability defensively. Doesn't care about the 30 home runs. Get a guy back I actually like in Jackie Bradley Jr. It's
Did
not
you hear
all of
something
it.
Over there, Murray?
Brown check markish.
Wow.
See, I knew it. By the way he said it.
Yeah, but don't we have comments from Cora? Like, it was obvious.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think it's that big of a stretch.
How many times did the guy freaking miss the cutoff guy?
Oh, yeah.
Or just chuck it into the dugout?
I mean, what manager would like that guy?
No.
Nobody. I mean, you're sitting there in the dugout watching him over through cutoff men and going, did this guy hear what I told him yesterday? or does he just have it like marbles between his ears? He's a dope.
So moving on from him is not the problem. It's what you got back. It's what you got back, and what you got back is not what you wanted. It was a means to an end. So what then it really is that what you got back just to acquire some system players, which is, to me, feels really, really expensive just to get the 16th rated prospect in your system. That feels like a heavy price to pay.
Bloom loves those guys. He's buying those like number 16 and 20 ranked prospects.
Like chiclets.
He does. He loves them.
And I'll tell you, but so, I mean, they are, to me, demonstrably worse than they were last year.
Oh, definitely.
Especially with Schwarber not back yet. I mean, let's see how it all plays out. But at this moment, they're worse than they were last year.
They've lost E-Rod. They have lost Renfro. They have lost Schwarber.
You've lost one of your best pitchers and one of your best hitters.
Two of your best hitters. Schwarber, too.
Yeah, sure.
But right? It's been one big bag of suck so far.
Dan in Needham. Hi, Dan.
Hey, guys, two things. One about strategy and one about Bloom. So first of all, on the Bloom front, I feel like you guys are just ragging on him all the time. Like with Charrington, with Dombrowski, I don't think since Theo, you used to rag on the ownership group. But I don't think Charrington or Dombrowski were such a target as Bloom is. He comes up, he's the nerd. Even just hearing you, oh, he loves those 16th round guys. He did a great job with a team that was, you know, last the previous year. So that's point one. And second is, we don't know what the lockout. I mean, you're not asking Paxton to do 30 starts. Maybe they're only going to have 50 games. Maybe you only need him to get in 8 or 10 starts. So if the lockout goes that long, they may just be looking for guys.
Dan, we've said it a million times. What he does works, and all these moves might work. It's just, I don't know how I'm supposed to get jazzed up over a 32-year-old guy coming off his second Tommy John.
And that collar is why we rag on Haim Bloom, because of people like him that defend him blindly. All hail Haim.
No, no. And
Lord Nerd.
Again, I've come.
Yeah, you've accepted the
I
defeat.
Gave in. He's yeah. good. He wins. I lose. I'm not telling you that his methods don't work. That's not my point. But I do have a problem with his ilk. The guys that have taken over the game and now control Major League Baseball, I do not like. I do not like, because I think they've ruined the game. They've helped ruin the game. They've helped grind the game to a halt. I mean, he came from freaking Fangraphs. he was a nerd.
Bow down to me, Felger.
Thank you. Like he came from one of these nerd websites, and he now runs one of the most marquee franchises in all of sports. And for that, yes, I have an issue with it. I do. And not with him personally. Good for him. Great. Like, you know, I'm a sports dork myself. Someone wants to hire me as GM, I'm taking the job. So, like, good for him on a personal level. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about, I think it sucks what the game has become.
Good, Mark.
Bend the knee, Felger.
You guys read that job description last week where it basically read all but said baseball background need not apply. Like, it's just like you need to know math and like computer programs.
Totally. There's no entertainment value at all. In fact, if you want to make the team entertaining, they will fire you.
Ed and Marsh, speaking of that, Ed and Marshfield, what's your Bruins thought?
Yeah, they need to get rid of Don Sweeney. We keep losing all these players and we get nothing for them. We had Chara at a plus 26, and then we don't sign him. We could have got someone at the deadline. Now we got Bergeron that doesn't want to sign. Unfortunately, we need to move him. And we got nothing for Krug. So this GM just doesn't know how to work. Harrison knew how to get rid of older players. And,
yeah, definitely.
And rebuild the system.
Ed, all those championships that Harry won, definitely. He knew what he was doing, man, for sure. Bring him back.
There was a happy fella.
No, I mean, never mind the 8 years of Don Sweeney without a cup. Let's go 38 without a cup with Harry Sinden. Much better idea. Terrific. But he waited a long time to say that. Yes,
that guy made us sound positive.
Mark in Connecticut. Go ahead, Mark.
Hey, how you doing? Time, long time. How you doing, guys?
We're good.
Hey, about the Jackie Bradley trade. Hey, this will make you feel a little worse. $9.5 million player options for this year, or 2022. He also has a $12 million mutual option with an $8 million buyout.
I don't know what you're talking about. I think he signed a 2-year, $24 million deal, and this is the second year.
He did. That's right.
Okay, so
I don't think there's any additional option that they're committed to.
So I mean,
I'll double check it, again, but I don't think so.
Right. Anyway, not that I know of. Here's John in Hampton. Go ahead, John.
Hey, guys, how you doing?
We're
hope
good.
Everything's well. You know, the whole baseball talk, just knowing that they have a lockout now just makes me want to puke. But my call is about basically, I'm not a Patriots fan, I'm not a Bills fan, but I think this is a must-win for the Bills, because if they lose this game and then next week they got to play Tampa Bay, then they play Carolina, then they have to play the Patriots again, of course, in Foxborough. So if they lose 2 out of 4 or 3 out of the next 4.
Okay, well, let's not do the Felger and Maz math. Let's just tell you that this Monday night in Buffalo is a must-win for the Bills. Absolutely agree 100%. And it's not a must-win for you. The pressure's on them. They got to have it.
But he's right. It's look out below for them if they lose this game for this season and the next decade.
And exactly. Just the psychological damage it would do for them to go to the AFC title game last year. You look the way you look. And this year starts the way it starts. Where a Bills fan, the Bills franchise, is sitting there saying, it took 20 years, but we're finally on top and we're going to be here for a while. Finally. The Patriots are in the rear view. And not even a month later, you're fighting for your life and they're going to come into your building and beat you. And now you look at it, you wake up Tuesday morning, you say, we're right back where we started from.
Imagine what's going to be flying on the field on Monday if Belichick pants his dead Josh Allen again. So, seriously, all kinds of crap.
Much more pressure on that side than this side. Let's do an email, shall we?
Oh,
hear
yeah.
Stu,
yeah,
please?
Man, yeah.
It's the Moncast email of the day!
Felga, I think you're a nerd.
Dear Felga, I really hate you.
Felga, you suck.
And I think Maz is a boob.
Send one to Felger at 985thesportshub.com.
Email today is protected by Mimecast. Safeguard your organization against phishing, business email compromise, and risks of ransomware. Visit Mimecast, M-I-M-E-C-A-S-T, Mimecast.com. Mimecast.com. Perfect internet security. Great for your business, your email, all of this. You want to have them because nothing gets through, as we like to say, the Mimecast chastity belt. Good example, this email. Chris in Salem writes in, Dear Michael, your take yesterday on Mac Jones registering copyrights for MJ10 was the Nanaist of your Nana takes of all time.
I think that's Nana.
Nanaist. I used to call my grandma Nana, but okay. Whatever. It's
tomato, tomato.
Exactly.
Yeah, but we usually use the term Nana.
It's true. It was the Nanaist of your Nana takes. While making your point, you said something to the effect of, go ahead and let people make T-shirts of your face on them. Who cares? So I did, writes Chris in Salem. Your initials are, appropriately, MF. I have registered the website, mf985.com, and have created a line of Felger-themed T-shirts. I look forward to the cease and desist from your attorneys. All the best, Chris, Salem, Massachusetts. So because I can't link on this or click it, or because Mimecast doesn't allow it, as an example of the Mimecast security at work. We'd have to go to a different browser and you sort of go backdoor it because Mimecast won't let you do it. But we have checked it out. MF985.com exists?
It does.
Yeah, there's one of you on there wearing the ball gag.
Yeah,
it's called the McBone T-shirt.
So there's literally a T-shirt of me with the ball gag.
Yeah, it says home, store, and disclaimer. And you can get the MF985.com. Then there's one of you wearing a clown nose. One that says, I heart the wood. There's a photo of you as Fat Face Felger that says,
yeah, that's
Fat
a good
Face
one. Oh, my God. The first picture, I did get around and got it. They have Fat Face Felger as look at that fat face.
Yeah, that one only comes in double XL Felger.
And then there's one of you shirtless wearing the ball gag that just says McBone.
So it does exist. Yeah. MF985.com. So I'm not going to send a cease and desist. Go nuts. Go nuts. I'd be thrilled. I saw someone walking down the street with that. I'd be happy. If you did want to be a mensch about the thing, you could throw a little percentage of proceeds to Christmas in the City or something like that. That's all I would ask.
Oh.
Otherwise, go crazy. What?
So I've now read the disclaimer. This is a parody website created to poke fun at Michael Felger, the host of 98.5, the Sports Hub's afternoon drive show, Felger and Maz. None of the shirts are actually for sale, no matter how much you'd want them.
Oh, that's unfortunate.
Unless you want to buy them with crypto.
But you want to see a picture of Fat Face Felger. They got it right for you on the homepage. All right, anyway, that's
hard to miss.
That's for real. Here's the final word right after these words.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Felger and Mass.
Mike, you there?
Yeah, good. Hold on, I have a landline. This is my landline, yep.
Now, more Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub. Felger's expert analysis.
Not from this talk radio crazy.
Maz's hard-hitting questions.
What am I, like the freaking abrasive police here?
The caller's bringing knowledge to the table.
Maz, the adults are talking.
It's time to recap this 4-hour show in 4 minutes. It's the final word on Felger and Maz on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Final word brought to you by Town Fair Tire. If you are looking for the best deal on tires, there is only one place to go. That's Town Fair Tire. The best prices and great free services. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire.
Nobody.
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 All right, I think we got a couple of things to get to here in the final word today. First up, any time that the return of Jackie Bradley Jr. was discussed today, if you were to have taken a shot, anytime you heard the term can't play, you probably would have been drunk by 2:25 this afternoon. Here's proof.
Jackie Bradley can't play. He can't play. He sucks. He can't play. it's not even, when I tell you this, he can't play. He blows. He is useless. He's useless. And he makes $12 million a year?
Right.
I mean, look, on this show, we spent plenty of time last year talking about Hunter Renfro being overrated. But overrated doesn't mean suck. Overrated doesn't mean you trade him for a guy who can't play and makes $12 million. So Hunter Renfro... Okay, so at no point did in our analysis of Hunter Renfroe, did we say trade him for a $12 million ball player who can't play? He hit 163. And he couldn't get on the field. And they had him on the bench because he can't play. $12 million a year, 31, 32. Can't play. Can't play. KP, can't play.
That was 10 mentions of can't play, and that was just in the first segment. So, yeah, I feel pretty confident in that. If you took shot every time
that
you
heard... That was just the first segment?
That was the first segment. That was 10 can't plays just in that little portion.
I want to hear that again tomorrow with a little bell.
File under things you won't hear on Nesson.
And what's a subtle bitchy blah sound like from a baby Patriots fan?
Oh, this is good.
Here's a good example.
When you look at the tiebreakers with Buffalo, you may have to win both games to win the division. If you finish tied with Buffalo... The first tiebreaker is obviously head-to-head. If you split, the next tiebreaker becomes division record. Mm-hmm. They're 3-0 in the division. You're 2-1 in the division. That loss to Miami right now is the difference between you and Buffalo. If we just assume that Buffalo's going to win their last two games against the division and you're going to win your last two games against the division, you're going to end up 4-1. Felger and Maz math. You're going to end up with one loss in the division. They're going to be undefeated in the division. So if you end up tied, the first tiebreakers,
correct,
you're going to have to sweep them.
Right.
Unless you just beat them outright by a game. All I'm saying is, you know, a split may not be good enough because of that Miami loss in week one. Corey in New Hampshire on the Patriots. Go ahead, Corey.
Hey, how's it going? You guys were talking about Josh Allen and the Patriots and, like, them going even in tiebreakers and so forth. They have to play each other twice, right? So the tiebreaker is irrelevant. No matter what, they're going to play each other. They're going to win the division, however the division falls into place.
So that might be the biggest baby call we've gotten all week, if you know exactly what he was talking about.
What?
Yeah, I'm a little... Explain.
He didn't like the fact...
Yeah, that you said that Buffalo had the tiebreaker.
That Buffalo owns the division tiebreaker. He said, well, it's not going to matter because they play each other twice.
Well, guess what, buddy? They also have common opponents over you right now, too. They beat the Saints. You didn't.
That you had to dig deep to find the subtle bitchiness in there.
Oh, no. I sensed some bitchiness right out of there. As soon as he said it didn't matter, but I went, uh-oh. No.
He doesn't like the fact that the Bills own the division tiebreaker. So, that's not going to matter. We play them twice. We're going to win the division.
Okay. Yeah, that's him just saying, well, they're going to go 2-0 against them, right?
I'm sorry you lost to the Dolphins all week. I was just reading the stats. But that's the level of sensitivity of the Patriot family.
Yeah, we're going to beat him twice anyway, Felger.
I think that's what he meant.
Oh, yeah, probably.
I think.
Yeah. Yeah.
Maybe he didn't, and I just jumped to conclusions, but that wouldn't be the first time.
Yeah, we're not going to need the tiebreaker. We got two games head-to-head.
So, is that Jones sitting out there?
Feels like a good day to talk about Jackie.
I wanted to call him and wake him up last night when I saw this.
So... You think that, I say this every night, but this time I really mean it. If you think that was bad, you ain't seen nothing yet. Here comes Jones. We're back at it tomorrow at 2 for an agenda-free Friday. We'll see you guys then.
See you. Bye.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.